The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All of us, brothers and sisters, have a great plan to play in the unfolding of salvation. However, we must realize, like Saint Joseph did, that however great our role may be, whether we're the Pope, whether we're a priest, a nun, or whether you're a faithful person listening so attentively right now in the pews, it is ultimately God's work and not ours. Salvation is the work of God. We are simply cooperating in that work, and we are dispensable. There's a song that I like. It's called In Me. It's a Christian song, and one of the lines of this song goes like this: "How refreshing to know you don't need me. How amazing to find that you want me." It is our duty to cooperate with God and with one another to build God's kingdom here on earth. You know, we know very little about the life of Saint Joseph, and what we do know provides us an excellent example for our daily Christian living. The very little that we know about Saint Joseph comes to us through the scriptures. I would like to present now two aspects from his life which can enrich our own Christian lives. The first is his obedience, which stemmed from his faith. There's that phrase from our second reading today that St. Paul uses, the obedience of faith. And this was the faith and the obedience of Joseph. St. Joseph remained open to God. He did not allow fear or self-pity or rigidity to close him in. When things were not going his way, he did not simply take the easy way out and denounce Mary. He let charity prevail over the rigid observances of rules and laws, and he remained open and listening for God's voice instead of moping around in depression and self-pity. And as soon as he found out what the will of God was, he put it into action. He was very exigent in fulfilling it. Just as the gospel today says, when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. His obedience of faith. The second aspect which we can learn from Saint Joseph is his silence. I'll bet anybody here, $20, I'll give you 20 bucks right now if you can tell me a word that Saint Joseph utters in the scriptures. Anybody want to take me on? Saint Joseph does not speak a single word in any of the four gospels. His language is silence, and my $20 is safe. His is a silence of humility, a silence of service, a silence of humble service. Saint Joseph realized that he was not the center of the universe, and so many of us still fail to realize this today. Saint Joseph knew that he was not the Christ, that the salvation of the world would come about with or without him. How often do we think that we are the Savior, that everything relies upon us, and we try and steal the spotlight from where it should truly be? Yes, Saint Joseph had a tremendous role to play in the history of salvation, because he was of David's line, and it was through him the prophecy was many prophecies were fulfilled. But still, he knew that he was dispensable, that he was only a supporting character. He let God be God, and he cooperated with God's plan. And so now begs the question, is our obedience an obedience of faith? Is our silence a silence of humility? When things do not go our way, when we do not get what we want, what do? Do we sit around and pout? Do we hold grudges? Do we have resentments? Just imagine if that's what Saint Joseph had done. He would have been written off in the history books as a coward, not as a saint. How many opportunities for greatness do we miss out on, brothers and sisters, because we fail to be obedient to God? How is our silence? There are so many noises and voices competing for our attention, because ultimately they want something from us. Usually it's money. Just turn on the TV, listen to the radio, or read the newspaper. We are inundated with ads and commercials offering us something, but always with strings attached. That is how the world is, loud, noisy, and unsettled. That's how the world is, but now look at how God deals with us. God deals with us in silence. And what does God offer us? Or everything that God offers us is unconditional. There are no strings attached. The only reality that truly deserves our attention is God alone. And God is a God of silence. He waits for our silence to reveal himself. Now we're in the last week of Advent. Christmas is next Sunday. It's hard to believe that a year has already gone. But Christmas is next Sunday, and we have a week left in this Advent season. And I encourage you to spend this week. I hope all your Christmas shopping is done, and your decorations are up, and all the good stuff you can put aside. And now just be silent with God for the coming week. Because really, that's how God works, in silence. You know, remember the story from the Old Testament. They looked for God in the powerful things, in the lightning and the wind, and yet God was in a still, small voice. The same thing. This is also the message of Bethlehem. You know, some people were mistaken. They were expecting a king in a palace. They were expecting someone great to come with trumpets and red carpets and, you know, riding on a horse. But how did God come? In the silence of the cave of Bethlehem. If we do not become quiet ourselves, brothers and sisters, how will we be able to recognize the small, still, quiet voice of God that beckons us to draw near, to approach him as he lies there vulnerable in the manger of Bethlehem? Even here in church, you know, one of the things I like to do is when everything is shut down, everything is quiet, the office is closed, at night I'll sit in one of the back pews and just sit here in silence. And I find so much peace. When you go home now, you know, take this time, the week left that we have for Christmas, and spend, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 minutes in silence, and just listen for God. If Saint Joseph had not been silent, if he would have allowed his anger, his revenge, his pride to get the better of him, there would have been so many voices in his heart and in his mind, vying for his attention. And yet he remained silent, calm, and at peace. And therefore he was able to hear the voice of God. We must do the same if we want to truly cooperate with God. We must kill the voices around us, even our own voices sometimes, and just attune ourselves to the voice of God. The still, small, quiet voice of God. Amen.